First John 2, beginning in verse 28, this is the Word of God. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. We'll end our reading this evening there. I came across an article in the news just the other day. Perhaps you saw this article. It's a very sad story, a very disturbing story of a case of road rage run amok. Peterborough, Ontario, just a few hours from us here in Russell. Not all the details were mentioned, but a 74-year-old man on his bicycle had been viciously attacked with a club by a man 10 years younger than him. Among the handful of honorable citizens that came to the rescue of this helpless senior citizen was a woman who began to record what was happening. And after the events, after the man took off in his truck, the woman was interviewed for the news, and I would just like to read a portion of what the article said regarding this woman, this bystander, to this vicious assault on a senior citizen. The article says, "The woman who began filming the attack is afraid of what would have happened to the man if no one was around. He attacked a senior man and drove away," she said. The witness said she's getting tired of people doing horrible things and getting away with them. "It is getting harder and harder to see that every day," she said. "They have zero repercussions." I don't know what this particular woman's theological perspective or worldview was, but her observations, her frustrations, echo what many of us feel at times in this world. Justice seems to be left undone. The bad guys seem to get away with their badness all too often. Even as Christians, you and I can often find ourselves throwing our hands up in the air, crying out with the psalmist, "Rise up, Judge of the earth. Rise up, Judge of the earth." But it's at times like these, like this attack in Peterborough, where a man seems to get away with that. It's at times like these that we, as the people of God, need to come back to the ultimate, absolute, certain truth that a day is coming when justice will be served fully. Not one seeming injustice in this life from Adam right up to the end of time will be left unaddressed by the holy, almighty, just God. Nothing escapes Him, and vengeance is the Lord's. We've sung about that this evening. God is a judge, the judge of all the earth. The Bible tells us for many that day when God returns in Jesus Christ with the angels, that day will be a day of great distress and anguish, doesn't it? We read in Revelation 6 as the Lamb opens the sixth seal, and those who are outside of Christ are calling for the mountains to hide them and the rocks to fall on them. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne, they say, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who can withstand it? And who can withstand it? But the Apostle John who had that very vision in Revelation, says that this is a day that Christians can stand and should stand and will stand in confidence, unashamed, before the Lord Jesus at His coming. As John in our passage this evening, in contrast with those crying for the rocks to fall on them and the mountains to hide them, John has another picture for the child of God at the end of all things. And now, dear children, verse 28, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. The Bible teaches that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a day that is set in God's calendar, and it's a day that only those in Christ, abiding in Christ, will be able to endure, will be able to stand before the judge with confidence. But John shows us in our passage this evening that it will be a day where Christians in Christ can stand before the judge as children before a loving Father. As children before a loving Father. You see, John unpacks this theme for us as we go on. And is this what you want? Do you want to face the judge with confidence, unashamed, as a child? Because that's who you are as a Christian. That's who you are as a Christian. Boys and girls, have you ever had a time where you were supposed to maybe clean your room, and you didn't do it, and you weren't looking forward to mom or dad coming home and opening the door to your room and seeing that what you were supposed to do was left undone? Well, John is telling us here that that's not how it's supposed to be with the Christian. Jesus warns His disciples over and over to be ready, to be ready. So the call is before us. The alternative, of course, is that we do what's right. We do what the Lord expects. We're not taken off guard, and we have confidence. We have no shame when He returns. Every day of your life is bringing you closer, one step closer to your eternal destiny, friends. You're training for eternity in this life. You're training for eternity. What good athlete doesn't appreciate the role of disciplined and consistent training? So you need to be preparing to meet Jesus with confidence. You need to be preparing to meet Jesus with confidence by doing three things that I want to draw out from the text this evening. First, you need to be abiding in Christ if you want to be meeting Him with confidence when He returns. Verse 29 or verse 28, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you're following along in another translation, perhaps the ESV, the word abide will be there. The NIV has continue. It's a word that literally means remain. Remain in Jesus Christ, says John. Remain in Christ. We've been looking at that. We saw that last week, the necessity of abiding in Christ. And we saw the contrast between those who are not abiding in Christ, the false teachers, the wolves, and those who are abiding in Christ. And John is calling Christians, his sheep here, to abide in the Son as you look forward to that great day of the Lord's return. Abide in him, continue in him. And of course, John had learned this great truth right from the lips of Jesus himself. Perhaps no greater commentary on the theme of abiding in Christ can be found than in John's Gospel in chapter 15, where we read Jesus himself saying, "Abide in me," to his disciples. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus goes on to say, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." And we saw the consequences of that beginning to be set before us last week with the antichrists, the false teachers. Those not abiding in Christ are tossed away, ready to be burned. Perhaps you're following the devastating consequences of the wildfires in British Columbia. Beautiful British Columbia, as we say, but parts of it are being ravaged by fire. And what was once beautiful forest and foliage is now decimated. You see the power of fire. You see what it does to what was once beautiful. And I've lived through that myself. I lived in Alberta a number of years ago, and we were on evacuation notice. And the smoke comes into your town, it gets into your home, it gets into your clothes, into your couch. You don't know what's going to happen next. It's devastating. It's a picture of what fire can do. And Jesus is saying that that's where those abiding out, or not abiding in Christ, are going to be taught. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to grasp and realize and appreciate that your relationship with the risen and reigning Lord Jesus is such that if you were outside of him for even a moment, you would shrivel up. You would wither. You would die. But abiding in Jesus Christ, you bear fruit. And it will be fruit that will be glorious and will glorify God at the judgment. As Christ's word and his love abides in you, as you keep his commandments, as we've seen, you will bear fruit as you prepare to meet him face to face. But if you're not abiding in him now, how can you hope to be prepared to meet him with confidence when he comes? That could be any time. Could be before this service is even done. If you're not abiding in Jesus Christ now, where is your confidence? But if you're in Christ, says John, and you're continuing in him, you're abiding in him, you will have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. Remain in Christ, says John. Well, secondly, as you prepare to meet Jesus with confidence, you need to be affirming your adoption. Affirming your adoption. We read in verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. You affirm your adoption as God's child by examining your life in the light of his own character, don't you? Of course, in the natural world, children often look and act like their parents, don't they? And this applies in the world, in the spiritual realm. John is dealing with the new birth, like father, like son, as we would say, or the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but in a positive light, God's children will bear his resemblance in righteousness. And by that righteousness, you know that you have been born of him. You must be born again to move from an object of wrath to a child of the Father's love. As Jesus said, you must be born again. And so we are in Christ. What grace! And it's as if John were to stop here, or is stopping here for a moment and stepping back and is lost in wonder almost as he contemplates the love of God, the love of the Father in giving birth to children, spiritual birth to children who were once objects of his wrath. It's as if John is stepping back in verse 1 and saying, behold this love of God. Where does such a love even come from, John says. The language doesn't come out in our English, but John is literally saying, from what country is this? Where does it come from? It's out of this world. Perhaps you remember Jesus on the boat on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and the storm is raging. And Jesus wakes up and he stills the storm with a word. And the disciples are afraid. And what do they say? They say, what sort of man is this who can still the storm with a word? It's the same word and language that John's using in our passage. What sort of love is this, says John, that we should be called children of God? And that is what we are. That is what we are. Can you feel the apostle's emotion? Can you feel his emotion coming through in this verse? Sinners in the hands of an angry God, rescued and made his children by grace. What a love. Behold, says John, what a love. And you want assurance. You look at the love of the Father, this adopting love, loved with an everlasting love, the children of God. What a thing to assure you in this life. Loved with an everlasting love, given the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. We see that it's all of grace, don't we? The NIV has it translated, lavished. It's a love that's been lavished on us. I believe the ESV says bestowed. It's a love that's been poured out on us. It's a love that only God could pour out, and he has poured it out in making sinners his children. What grace, says John as he steps back and beholds this love of God. And you and I need to behold that love every day. Because we forget it. Sadly, we forget it all too easily. It's amazing how we can lose appreciation for the love of God. But we do. But we do. And John sets it before us here. Behold, what a love. What a love. You're not found in your own experience that when you forget about this love and you lose sight of your identity as a child of God, that you find yourself sinking back into patterns and habits of the world. But when you're reminding yourself, when you're renewing your mind in the Word, in the Spirit, being reminded of this love, of the adopting grace of God, you will live like a child of the King. You will live like a beloved child. You live out the identity of who you think you are. And you and I in Christ are the children of God. The children of God, able to look forward to that coming day with confidence. Are you living up to the family name? So you prepare for that great day. You prepare to meet Jesus with confidence by affirming your adoption and beholding the love of the Father. Well, thirdly and lastly, friends, you prepare to meet Jesus with confidence by anticipating that great day. By anticipating that great day. Dear friends, verse 2 of chapter 3, we now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We are to live in the light of that great day, that great hope that God has promised us in glory. Our transformation, full transformation into that righteous conformity to Jesus Christ. But what do we look like now? How does the world see Christians? And John addresses that. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. But dear friends, now we are children of God. Just as in a similar way, Christ's glory was veiled in this life, so our true adoption will only be revealed fully when God returns in Jesus Christ. But we look forward to that day, and you need to remind yourself every day of that great day that's coming. And that will give you strength. And what John is saying is that that is a hope that will lead you to live a life of purity. Because you are going to be purified fully in Jesus Christ when you behold Him in glory. And so if that's what you're hoping for, you're going to live a life now that corresponds to that great hope that is yours in Christ. Not perfect, not sinless, but moving in that direction as God sanctifies and conforms His people to the image of Christ, a conformity and a sanctification that will be complete when we behold the Son face to face. So when you're driving to work, when you're in the field, on the plow, on the tractor, on the bus, on your way to school, or on your way to work, you remind yourself of who you are going to become, what you are going to become. When you behold your Savior face to face, it is this hope, says John, that purifies, just as He is pure. And it's a certain hope. It's not a vague hope. Yes, we do not know what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And that is a guarantee. Jesus will return. Are you going to meet Him with confidence? Are you abiding in Christ? Are you affirming your adoption, beholding the love of God, and anticipating that great day, living every day of this life in light of that eternal destiny? Let me close with a brief account of a man I know of who was working as a taxi driver in a busy city. He was a younger father, and he wanted to save up money so his family could take a little summer vacation down to the Caribbean islands. But in order to be able to afford this vacation, he had to put in extra hours in the taxi. And so he took on extra shifts. He was working long nights, putting up with abuses, putting up with insults, putting up with drunk, belligerent customers. That'll get anyone down. But what kept this man going, what kept this man going through all of these long, difficult shifts, was a little picture that he kept above his windshield visor, a little picture of a Caribbean island seascape. And every time he got discouraged and wanted to give up because it was too difficult, he would look up at that picture and he would be reminded of what he was working for and what it was all going and moving towards. And brothers and sisters, that is merely an earthly blessing. A trip to the Caribbean islands, as beautiful as that is, you and I are on our way to glory. And on our way to beholding Jesus Christ face to face. So how much more, as the people of God, should we be holding this picture of our hope before us as we journey and make our way through this pilgrimage in this world? How much more? How much more? Knowing how much we are loved by God, what He has promised us, the confidence that we can have as His children, and that eternal, glorious transformation when every tear will be wiped away. No sin, no death, no mourning. Beholding the face of Jesus Christ forever. Praise be to God for such a glorious hope and a glorious Savior.